Hello and welcome to the Voices of Pueblo podcast brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. I'm Ben Kaysen here with Todd Albo, my good friend, the czar of all printing at the Pueblo Chieftain. Todd, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Just great. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. It was such an honor to be a part of, you know, telling you guys a story for the printing press this last edition of the Pueblo Star Journal. If you've not read that, go check it out at one of our pickup locations, or you can find it at pueblostarjournal.org. But I got a good chance to be around you guys and see your process for a while, and I just want to kind of start out with, what do people not understand about Chieftain printing? What do people think? What's actually going on behind the scenes?
Well, I hear a bunch of stuff, and I know you see some, you know, they still think we're connected together, so you get a bunch of the hate mail that you guys are printed in Texas, you know, corporate don't care about, you know, local news anymore, which, you know, to some point, you know, with our early deadlines we do, I dislike not getting all the sports we had and some of the breaking stories, but I do see a lot of local Pueblo stories only, and they're almost more than I've seen before, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. Yes, the building looks abandoned. We are close to the public because we're basically a printing facility, so we cannot take your checks for subscribers. And, you know, we try to get as many complaints as we can, but, you know, basically we print, print, print.
Yeah. Print, print, print. Dude, it's like, because, you know, I got to go in there and see all the behind the scenes and see everything. Just, can you give me like a description of what does it look like inside that building when you look at the press and look at the process you guys have?
Some people would think it's chaotic, but it's kind of smooth, you know, from when we get a file from a client, you know, putting it on the right size templates, getting the plates output, putting them in order for the pressman grabbing them, putting them on, you know, the press, and then, you know, running it, getting it in the mailroom. Either we insert it or strap and stack it, and we either deliver it or, you know, a lot of people still come down to the building and, you know, pick up their stuff.
Yeah, and that's us as well for the Star Journal. So what I love is, you know, we've gotten a chance to partner with you guys since we started. You know, you guys have been our printer for all of our editions for starting last year. And we get to come down and, you know, obviously you guys are top-notch professional with everything. It's so fun to get to pick up those papers right off the press.
Yeah, it's you know, a lot of people still want to come in and, you know, look at it, check it out. And just like you said, it's like a, you know, three-story monster.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, the, you know, I did some research and chatted with you guys building the article out that, you know, they built the whole side building just for the press, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so they built that entire building just to house the press.
Yeah, you can tell that when you're inside, you could see old school to new school what had to be built. And I was just trying to go back in my memory, and we actually, when the press was being built and getting ready to fire up, we still had the old press as a standby, so we would make plates for the new press and for the old press in case something happened, you know, for a couple months before we totally said, okay, we're one press only.
So how old was the old press whenever it got, you know, removed?
Yeah, man, I don't even know how old, because right before I started, I think we had did a changeover, and I started in the mailroom, so I was just there. You know, I didn't waver from there, so I didn't, you know, like today, you know, everybody's does multiple tasks, and, you know, multiple departments. We know a lot of stuff, but back then it was, I really didn't pay attention to the press, or, you know, the pressman. So I just remember seeing the, you know, the red little red beast in there, and we'd run it and thought that was good until we got the new one. It was like night and day.
Night and day. Tell me about that transition, because you've been working for the Chieftain for how long, Todd?
This is my 38th year.
Wow. That's so
Thanksgiving
cool.
Weekend. I started on the biggest paper of the year. I remember going down there. Like today, you wouldn't be able to do that. I went in, applied for a job, and it was like, show up tomorrow. And it was on a holiday shift. They were giving out bonuses for the machine that could give out the most papers. The guys were all, hey, don't mess up. We're going to win that bonus.
You're on the team.
Man, it was train, go. It was just like nonstop. And next thing you know, that the boss at the time, Ned Sutton, was all, if this guy comes back tomorrow, he's a keeper. And I've been there ever since.
Wow. Did you win the bonus?
And we won the bonus.
There you go.
And back then, $5 was a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, so you've seen, you know, a lot of change around there, but specifically when it comes to the press, what's the big differences between the old press you guys had in there and the one you have in now?
Speed, quantity, and the overall quality. Hmm. You know, we could have never done what we do today on that old press. Hmm. If I remember right, TV Mag maybe was the only extra job that we would run besides the Pueblo Chieftain.
Besides Chieftain, yep.
Yeah. I can remember maybe Jones Healy Tab when they were, you know, in the game, and a few other little things, but it was either you run the Chieftain and we had one other thing to run, and that was, you know, two constant things. You know, and now, you know, if we run two things, it would be like, wait, what happened? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, how many things do you guys actually run for people? I know you made us a big list, but it's a lot.
Yesterday, we ended up having 26 jobs on the press.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we had a little hiccup, you know, in some of the transition at night, so I moved two of them to this morning, mm-hmm. so it kind of leveled out. But we average 22 to 25 jobs, especially Monday through Wednesday. We get to Thursday, and you would think 18 jobs is kind of a lot,
heavy
but
day,
to us,
yeah.
it's a slowdown. And then I think it was a year, maybe going on 2 years ago, somebody came up with the idea that, okay, all across the country, let's go Saturday, no print. Let's just do digital papers. Hmm. And so now we still stick to that. So we use that day to kind of do maintenance, and some people get that day off. So, you know, it's an extra day off. So a lot of guys now are working 4-10s to get their 40s, you know, and taking the 3-day weekend.
Yep.
But that's about the Friday's about the only day, except for when we get to holidays, like Memorial Day's coming up. A lot of places, you know, hey, well, we're not going to work on Monday. We'll send you files Friday. Well, you know, I like to say always we're better than the post office, because we do 365, 24/7, and we deliver. So it's yeah. like, okay, you guys might be off on that holiday, but we still have other print jobs we're going to run. But we will open up on that Friday and try to get some of the stuff that we run on Monday to kind of slow it down, so we're not there all day.
Hmm. So tell me about your team. Who do you guys have there, and what's special about your team? We've got people you have working.
So the team that I have now, back when I started, you know, it was a typical night and day. We had a crew in the day, a crew in the night. Mm. You know, sometimes we didn't see each other. Back then, the night shift was actually a night. You'd come in late, and you'd stay till the sun's coming up. So second shift nowadays, you know, sometimes they're off by midnight because, you know, the press is running that well. But I have my right-hand person, Kim. She's been with us 25 years.
Wow.
So I think she does it. We have William Eaton and Charmaine Banham. They're kind of new to the commercial print, but William was inside the building. Well, we you know, working in another department, you know, I seen his work ethic, so I'm all, hey, if you're going to get him out of that part, let's move into my part. So
yeah.
I think he's, I'm not sure on dates, but 17, 18 years in the game.
Wow.
Charmaine's relatively new, 5 years, so... Mm. It's like, I like to say, these guys come and they don't go, so they stay.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I like to see. And we're close knit. It's like a, you know, a family.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, especially myself, I am at work almost more than I'm at home. So I see these guys, you know, all day long, and you know, sometimes into the night. So it's just how it is.
Yeah. Why do you think everybody stayed as long as they have? What's special about
it? Everybody would say it used to be when the Rawlings, you know, we're family owned, you know, everybody cared, everybody's family. It was like, you start at the Chieftain and you're going to retire at the Chieftain. Hmm. There was still some people, if there wasn't for some of the, you know, newer technology and some of the, you know, setbacks and cutoffs, layoffs that they did, would probably still be there because they wanted to still retire at the Chieftain.
Hmm.
You know, nowadays, you know, I don't know if the, some of the people that I still hire in the mailroom, they're older and they just want to work.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting the young kids, you know, straight out of high school. I do have a couple of them, you know, but I'm sure this job just might be a stepping stone, you know, working, let's save up some money and then see what my degree that I worked for in college, see if I can get a job. But I thought of that too, but I'm still chugging along.
That's awesome, Todd. Yeah. What about the job appeals to you so much that keeps you wanting to be a part of it?
I like news. And it's some people out there, they look at it and some days we're a day late, but I can tell you with social media, especially when it came on, it wasn't too bad, but nowadays there's people out there with their phones. It's on Facebook, Instagram, live. So even local TV media, they hardly have breaking news anymore. So, you know, you just got to think of the print media, the newspapers is, you know, you're sitting at your table, reading the comics, you know, drinking your coffee. That's what it is. If you're looking for breaking news, you're probably not going to find it in any newspaper across the country at all.
Yeah. It's wild how that's all changed over these last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
For us at the Star Journal, we're looking at that same thing. It's like, you know, you have so much of this breaking stuff, which means that there's more, though, of a hole for really intentional, like deep, you know, news within Pueblo that, you know, is stuff that people want to read. That's not just that surface level tweet about something, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get that story, you know, Pueblo Fuel and Iron. We've been pumping them up, and there's a few other stories out there that, you know, that I like to see that are still Pueblo relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still some stuff that inside the paper that it's national, but you know, all papers put that out, you know. If you were to flip through one of the, you know, like what the story say, 76 weekly or daily, monthly publications, you're probably not going to find something that ain't totally local. There's going to be some national story in there that is too good to pass up.
Yeah, I mean, we had the big list that we put together with you. So, I mean, it's 46 weekly, 10 monthly, and then a bunch more in terms of daily as well that you guys work with.
Yeah.
At least. Yep. You know, this was you putting the list together of all of the different places that you've worked with. And, you know, what's it like switching between the different, you know, providers for news? You know, you're on a call with us at the Star Journal, and then you're talking to the Chieftain, then you're talking to Fort Collins. What's that like working with all those different news people?
Sometimes I get a little confused, but it's...
That's a lot of news keeping.
You start learning the name, so it's like... I see Rory or Ben or Greg. I know it's you guys. And, you know, there's a design center that sends us stuff for the USA Today for Fort Collins. So I know what channel that comes through. And then kind of just like on a first name basis, and we see the emails coming from all the other little publications. So it's like, it might be a business. It might be a livelihood. But still, some of these people I've worked with for countless years, and when they struggle, like last year, the El Paso Fountain Valley newspaper just couldn't stay afloat anymore, and you know, they had some stuff that other papers didn't cover, and so once they went, you know, I think Christmas week was their last paper, and like some of that stuff I still miss, you know, reading in there that other papers don't cover, they were covering. So it's just one of them things that still might be business, but some of them little papers, their family, they always text updates. Hey, we're sending, you know, it's kind of not professional business like where it's all, you know, cut and dry. So I don't mind getting a text, hey, we're sending files. Hey, we're, you know, losing that. Cause you know, that's what you got to, you know, do nowadays. Cause I just don't put everything out. I am like customer service.
Yeah.
So
you definitely
are. I'm there. It's like a lot of people, you know, COVID, work from home. It's kind of hard to put out a newspaper, you know, remotely. So we were in the building all through it. So it's like nothing changed.
For you guys.
No lockdown.
Pushing right through. Oh man. Well, so we were talking a little bit about that. So you mentioned to me that there's really only two big presses in Colorado. You've got Pueblo and you've got Denver. Why is it important that the press is here in Pueblo?
If it wasn't down here, you know, Southern Colorado wise, I don't know time wise if all the papers could get printed, because there's a time where you got to turn people away.
Sure.
You know, I'm hoping that, you know, that never happens, like where, hey, Todd, we can't take any more. We're at our max. You know, I know what we could print and I know the capabilities, but, you know, up north, you know, there is the, you know, the Denver Post, and they do have, you know, a state-of-the-art press. I wouldn't say they're rivals because, you know, we do partner with them if, you know, in a snowstorm. Another thing a lot of people do not know, we got to get over Monument to get USA and Fort Collins to there. They got to come down with the Nationals, the Post, Canyon City. So if we have a big snowstorm, we make that call that we'll run a few of their jobs that stay south of the Monument. They'll run some that go north. So it's kind of, we have a partnership. Cool. They do have two sites, one in Denver, one in Berthoud. So they have two presses, you know, compared to, you know, R1. But, you know, it's just, I just like being in the printing business. I you know, it's kind of sad that I think it was Signature Offset publication printers that they couldn't, you know, after COVID, it's like a lot of these places, they couldn't find employees and they couldn't keep the door open. So it's kind of sad that they did have to close doors, but, you know, it opened up more papers coming to us to, you know, get printed.
When did it change for you guys to where you went from, hey, you know, we're just doing ourselves and maybe one other thing, to now you're doing, you know, the 80 publications you guys do now? When did that change where you became more of a commercial press that way?
Yeah, I know to make it happen, they had that vision when they bought the press that, hey, we're going to have to do more than this. And I want to say that, I'd have to think back, but Thrifty Nickel would be one of them that was the first one that came, and that's when there was actually Thrifty Nickel in Pueblo and a Thrifty Nickel in Colorado Springs. So, you know, we ran both of them. So it was, you know, a pretty good long press run. And then all of a sudden, then the word got out, hey, these guys in Pueblo might be running. And I was still just working in the composing how it was back then. Now, so we really don't compose anything. That's why it's, you know, it's pre-press. Everything before it gets on the press, we handle pre-press. So it's just started as a few, and then before you know it, it's like, hey, here's another one. A lot of them are like publishing companies like Colorado Community Media in Denver. You know, if you take one of their papers, you're gonna get them all. So they have 26 papers plus they have their special sections and you know, like rodeo editions, orchestra that are one-offs that throughout the year each season. So their 26 actually turn into close to 40 from that that we print a year. And so you get that one and you get them all.
Dang. That's super cool. Yeah. I mean, you guys, picking up that many papers and doing that much you guys do, how close do you think you are to your capacity? You mentioned, you know, maybe someday we'll have to say no, but do you think you guys are close?
Like a lot of the papers, they want out on a certain day. You know, a lot of people want to try to print on Tuesday night, Wednesday pickups, so they can hit the streets on Friday. You know, and if we had to, and there was a big fish, there's still some big fish out there, you know, I could say that are getting printed that are dailies. If one of them that was closest to us decided, hey, let's see what the Chieftain can do, I'm sure we would make that move to print every day.
More consistent that way.
And then you can't tell somebody, no, we're not going to print you on Saturday just because we don't print our own product. We would gladly, I'm sure, open the door if it meant more revenue and, you know, keeping these, the doors open and everybody still, you know, even though a couple of us are core worker, you know, 38, 39, 40, 41 years there, we still got a couple more years in us before we retire. So I like to stick it out. I myself, I'm pretty sure I got 10 to 12 more years. So I want to make sure print media stays that long.
Good. And, you know, it's cool just to see how much demand there actually is for you guys' work. I mean, you have a lot of work that you guys have doing. It's really cool to see.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about them installing the new press and getting it built in? Because you were working there at that point. What was that like?
It was kind of cool. It was just like when you're seeing something built because, you know, you're used to one part of the building and all of a sudden here's going up this big old structure and that it was built specifically, you know, for the press. And I think it was, they came in on the bottom, you know, they had some gantries where they could, you know, start building up. And then the actual third tier of the press, you could see the big square in there where there was a crane and they had to bring in the top part of the press through that big hole in the ceiling, you know, to, you know, put it on top.
So,
you know, it was in just like the paper storage warehouse that had to get built new specifically for what we have, you know, stored in there, which at any given time is probably 45 days worth of paper for all the publications. So it's a lot of rolls.
It's massive.
Yeah.
You showed me that when I was in there. It's like these stacks of rolls of paper that are just, yep. It's hard to think about how much paper it was. That you're just like, maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. You guys powering right through with that.
Yep.
Yeah, man. What was the buzz like whenever the new press was coming in around the Chieftain, around Pueblo?
I think everybody wanted just to happen, just so they could, you know, be a part of it and see what kind of quality difference there was between, you know, a letterpress press and an offset, which is, you know, tremendous. And the width, you know, it was single wide. Now we're, you know, double wide. It's just like a lot of things that sometimes people, you know, don't understand. You know, sometimes I don't understand. I just do it.
Hey, fair enough. What's the difference between a letter set and an offset?
The letter is like, there was, let's see, raised copy were on the plate and it was backwards. So then the image runs around the press, prints on a blanket right way. So when it hits the paper, you know, it's legible.
Yeah.
And like the press we have now, I could pull a plate off and I could read it. It's right read because it's, you know, it's going on there, still going on the blanket and then off the newsprint. So technology.
Technology. That's super cool. Yeah. What's the process? So like, let's take the Star Journal, for example. Like, it's Tuesday. We send you off our files for our paper. What process does it go to get done?
So I'm looking at if you tell me in advance, I usually know when you're coming off the press.
Yep.
I have you down at a certain time, and I know that if you guys hit your deadline, we'll have you on a press sometime, you know, that night. So that's what I look at. I know on any given day what we run, how long it takes, and regardless if there's any issues, we should be able to maintain that time frame. So that way I could tell you, yeah, your papers will be ready. You know, your files are here by 5. I'm going to get you on at 8. It'll be ready that night. Most times you guys come the next day, but today we did run you in the daytime so that, you know, they're out there, you know, waiting. But there is some, you know, some guys, they'll have a late breaking story where we've had to, you know, stop the press, you know, run some their new page on there. And
oh, you've had to like literally stop the press before it's ready.
You know, it's one of them things, you know, people laugh about it, but it is, you know, I'm one of them guys that, hey, if I got to do it, I can stop the press and
stop the press.
You got to do it.
That's awesome. Have you ever like tell me a story of that? Was there something exciting that happened where you had to make that call to stop the press and change something up?
See, back in the early days, I want to say it was one of the presidential elections. I think I remember I was working with I think there was still Marv Reed, Henson. I think they were gone and Juan was available for the night. The TV was reporting one way. I want to say we printed, I can't remember if it's Gore wins or Bush wins, and it wasn't set. And my wife had actually called me at work and said, hey, have you seen what's going on TV? And it was backwards. So I called Juan. He came down. We actually caught the air, printed it out. And I want to say a lot of the other papers had already gone to press and were done. We were one of the only papers in the state that got the actual headline right, because we did do that.
That's awesome. So that's so cool. How were you feeling about yourself when you made that call and got that switch?
It was cool, because then you know, the next day, you know, all the emails came out that, hey, it was great teamwork last night, we got it done. We weren't the only ones. So it there's not too many of them moments anymore, because, you know, a lot of the breaking news is either done or gone. But there is a few that, you know, we try to get on there, but nowadays it would probably be virtually impossible if something, you know, happened, you know, late at night, you know, if it was a big enough, I would say, catastrophe or community, something big happened, we might be able to do that. But with the press running and sometimes, you know, the daily already out before, sometimes the news is even on TV, it'd be hard to get something in there, you know, not just by us, but by most papers.
Yeah, for everybody. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
So
that's cool. I'm trying to imagine that moment. That's sweet. Just really stop the press.
We
gotta switch that.
I think the latest the latest one where we caught it was the indictment of Trump. What was it? A couple weeks
ago. Yeah.
We were getting ready. We had Fort Collins, our paper, and USA Today all ready to go. And we changed the cover on all three of them. So that was the latest where thing that we actually had a change for, you know, a relevant story. So it did get it.
Yep.
Did it get in there? People weren't already seeing it on TV. And so when we print it the next day, it's like, oh, that's old news. We did get that stuff finished live. So that's kind of feel good.
I would say that's sweet. So talk to me about the capacity for the press. How much can you guys print? You know, what, you know, it's such a crazy massive machine. What are some of the cool things that it can do?
So if there's two ways we could run. There's a collect run. There's a straight run. It's kind of hard to explain, but a straight run is we make two plates of every paper. So it's only on certain sizes that we run like that. So small, 8 pages, 12 pages, you know, something like that.
Yep.
We would be able to have two plates of everything. So maximum capacity would be 30,000. We could run 30,000 pieces an hour. If we were running straight, we could run 60,000. So we do have a lot of the small newspapers, you know, local, especially out east. They're small. They usually stay the same sizes, 10 pages broadsheet or 12 pages tab. They run straight. Most of all our other jobs, they're collect runs, you know, and they're, you know, they're pretty big, 40 pages, you know, 48 pages. So you got to kind of slow them down because, you know, 48 pages full of color. That's, you know, most of the time, two pressmen, one guy checks color, one guy checks registration. So you got to, you know, slow it down a little to make sure that we're putting out quality products.
And so, yeah, so they're running and they're checking the paper just to make sure that it's up to quality while it's going.
Yes.
That's cool. I got to see them do that when I was over there with you the other day. They were pulling papers out, checking things out.
You know, like some people, hey, do you guys even check stuff? And how do you, if you're running so fast, all these guys are professionals.
Yeah.
They've been doing it. That's their job. So they know what they do. You know, they do their part. I do my part. And I'm kind of all over, so it's like I make sure that, you know, we get quality out because I don't want to call from some publisher saying that, hey, they didn't like what they seen. I'd rather just get the thumbs up, you know, I get a thumbs up text all the time from a lot of the people, so that's, you know, it's appreciative.
That's cool. It is. That's sick, man. Yeah, so the what does the Pueblo Chieftain mean to you?
See, the Pueblo Chieftain... Like there's a, it's just one of them things. I think when I started, even being a paper boy, it was right when we still had the Pueblo Chieftain and Star Journal. Pueblo Chieftain was the day paper, Star Journal was the night paper.
Yep.
That was just, they were just merging when I was a paper boy. And, you know, I was like, got to be 12. So I can remember, you know, that's when you still could go to everybody's house, you know, and collect and, you know, you talk to them and they'd, you know, you get Christmas cards. So it was kind of cool because I was, even at that young, I always put the papers on the porches, you know, I was very, you know, professional. So I know, you know, that part of it. So then when I got out of high school and I started to work, I still had a paper route and I was working the job at the same time. Then sometimes it got to be too much because I'd still be working when I needed to have that paper, you know, on the porch. So then I had to go away with the, you know, delivering, you know, and like nowadays there's, if you have a good paper boy, he'll still do that, but there's no, you got to have it on the porch anymore. Cause most things, there's no paper boy. It's a paper carrier that can drive. So there's no walking the route and tossing it. It's coming from a car now. So it's still one of them things that I wanted to be involved because it was Pueblo.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you see steel mill, you Pueblo. You know, nowadays it's Pueblo Chile, Pueblo. But the Pueblo Chieftain still, I consider it's a local newspaper. We're here, you know, in the heart of Pueblo, and we're printing everybody in Southern Colorado, and that's what a lot of people don't know. I do dislike some of the, that we're not open where people could come in and, you know, pay the bills and all that stuff, but there's a lot of papers that don't have that access still. You know, I know some of the older generation don't like it. They want to come down and pay their bill. They don't want to send it to somebody. They want to talk to somebody. They want to pick up a paper. You know, I get it, but it's just one of them things. I don't think that that's going to change. We still have a few remote employees that they learn to do their job good from home. And, you know, why rock the boat? Just, you know, still do it. But it was one of them things that back in the day, I gauged myself by USA Today, because back in the day, USA Today was the like top of the tier to print. You wanted to print the USA Today. Everybody read it. So when we got the word that we were going to print them in that in our building, it was kind of one of them aha moments. Like, there it is. I've done everything I could do. We're printing the USA Today inside the Pueblo Chieftain. So that's just one of the marks that you wanted to print up against. Like, I want our stuff to come out exactly like that, because that's what you looked for. So now we print that. So it's like, it might not mean what it did back in the day, but to me, printing USA Today is still, you know, on the top of a list of, you know, stuff to print.
That's incredible. Todd, thank you so much for sharing that, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, so for Puebloans who are listening to this, how can they connect with you guys over there at the Commercial Press? How can they reach out to you guys?
It's I like to say, oh, you could just come in and, you know, do something. But, you know, it's
well, you guys
not,
have a lot of stuff going on.
You know, we do have, there's still, you know, there's writers in the building where, you know, they can, if you knock on the door, maybe somebody will answer. But around back in the mailroom, if somebody's missing a paper, we'll try to, you know, it's like when I was coming up here to meet you, I grabbed a bundle, you know, for you. And there was, you know, two older ladies were, hey, I didn't get my paper today. And the mailroom crew was helping them out. So they know, you know, what they can get and what they can't get. But, you know, it's just, there's no specific way, you know, there's a phone number in the paper to call. I think it's 544-0166, but it's going to be options. So a lot of people, I don't want to talk to a machine, but unfortunately that's the, you know, that's the way that stuff goes. But most of the time I try to have myself accessible, you know, if somebody wanted to talk to me, you know, and see what's going on. But it's just one of them things that's, it's hard for me to say, this is how you can get a hold of anybody at the Chieftain, because really there's no reason to get something. But we do still try, if your kid was on the sports page, you know, there's an obit in there. We still do try to accommodate that stuff the best we can for them. Keep state, you know, keepsake moments, because, you know, people still see it on social media, Facebook, you know, seeing a picture, somebody cutting up, you know, taking a picture of it. That's one way. But if you have that paper in your hand and you're going to put that in your scrapbook, you know, that's totally different. And I'm still glad I'm part of that, where somebody still wants to have, you know, paper and save it, frame it. So
Todd, thank you so much for everything you do, man. And yeah, you know, you've been a huge blessing for us at the Star Journal, but just all the work that you've done for Pueblo and for the Chieftain, and just keeping people informed. We're really thankful for that. So, and for you and the whole team, it's just been incredible to get to know you guys a little bit this last month.
I appreciate it. And everyone was kind of ecstatic that you guys wrote about us, and they got to know that, hey, the Chieftain does print other stuff, and now they're all, when's this podcast coming out? We want to hear it. So it's like, it's all good.
That's good, man. Well, thank you so much for listening. This has been Voices of Pueblo, brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. If you like this podcast, go check out some of our previous episodes for some of our previous cover stories, and go read the cover story. We put it together. You can check it on pueblostarjournal.org, as well as we have our pickup locations you can find there. Go pick up a paper or drop by our office. We're down at the Business and Technology Center. So thank you so much for listening. For Ben Kaysen and Todd Albo, have a great rest of your day.